I'm grateful to be allowed to talk and invited to talk. And this topic is really something I'm interested in. I kind of want to give you the story of that in a minute. Classically, this is the prayer of silence and solitude. But really, David last week said, just think of it as you're going into your prayer closet. And then he said, close the door. I'll add to that, lock the door. Okay? And I'm calling this today the silent storm. Because you might think, it'd be wrong to think, but you well think, that silence and solitude means it's going to be quiet. It's going to be peaceful and pleasant. It's like, no, it's not. It's stormy. It's noisy. You know, in your prayer closet with the door closed and locked and all those distractions turned off, what happens is all your inner noise starts, you start hearing it. That's the first thing you hear. And, you know, most people come home from work, turn on something electronic. People do not like silence. And once you silence your external world, what you hear is your internal world. And, of course, with time, you hear God, which is the idea. Now, before I go into this slides, let me just give you some background, okay? Susan, my wife, and I have been married 48 years. And 42 of those have been in Christ. And 6 have been outside of Christ. And just as an aside, believe me, it's better in Christ. But 42 years of Christianity, we've kind of wandered through a lot of Christianity. And I just want to divide this up 40 years into a couple categories, okay? For one thing, we thoroughly have been exposed to basically Protestant Bible church, okay? The role of the Bible, both in your own learning and your sanctification, in everything, child rearing, and the role of the Word and the Bible in preaching. And that, let's say that was 10 years, 10 years out of 40. But we also went with the Pentecostals and what are the charismatics, and we probably had 10 years in that, and you know, we learned a lot from them, really, because there's a lot of gift power in the Pentecostals and charismatics. But Susan could never get her hair to stand up 3 feet tall like Marge Simpson did. So we had to leave the Pentecostal world. But that's another 10 years. And then we have another 10 years in what I'll call discipleship, shepherding movement. Okay, in the 80s, if you know what that was, you learned to submit to authority. You learned small groups. You learned accountability. We had 10 years in that. So, and I still value all three of those parts of God. Now, if Susan was up here, she would add 2 more, worship and service. But really, I'm a little defective in both of those. Now, there's one left, because there's another 10 years here. Can I get some water? Let's put it this way. This all started for us this last stage. Thank you, Randy.
Got a lid on it.
Thank you, sir. This fourth component, which I'm teaching today, and I think it's as important, not more important than the Bible and all the other major components, okay? And that is hearing God in your heart, okay? Hearing God in silence and solitude, hearing God in your prayer closet. This is an important part of God. And it's not usually taught. It's new, and it's new to Vineyard. It's coming to Vineyard. Okay, so in 1994 or so, Susan and I were in a non-denominational church. We're hearing these stories about a little Toronto airport Vineyard church, a Vineyard church in Toronto, Canada. We heard that great things were happening, and I would hear about these things, and I was skeptical. I mean, people being knocked to the floor, for example, slain in the spirit, and all kinds of stuff like that. Soaking prayer, soaking for an hour on the floor, like a piece of meat marination. And I was very skeptical. But I saw people come back, and they were changed. They really were. And then my own family went, and then finally my son went. He was like 16 at the time, I think, or whatever. And Susan knows. Anyway, he came back, and we were talking, and I said, well, I'm suspicious, John, that it's the devil. And he mocked me. He said, oh, that's right, Dad. The devil makes us love Jesus. And so I thought, well, I guess it's time to go. So I drove up there. I was one of the last ones to go up there from our church. And I got there on the day they weren't having a service, this day off. Still, by then it was a big place, 2,000 people, auditorium or warehouse, really. I went in, and it was a day off, but there were still 40, 50 people. They were talking, sitting. Somebody's up at the mic, testing, and all that. And I sat off at least 40 feet from anybody. I just sat there, kind of get the feel of the place, you know. Now, keep with me here. And I felt a disturbance to my left, so it had space. And I looked to my left, nothing. But I felt something rush across the floor. Bear with me. And I described this because it felt like a sphere, a 12-foot sphere. Of course, there was no sphere, but you get my point. Something rushed across the room and stopped around me. Now, this part's embarrassing. A voice spoke. This is the only audible voice I've ever heard. But a voice came to me out of the sphere, in the sphere, and said, "You are my own dear son, with whom I'm well pleased." Now, that was a powerful experience, you can imagine. And I'll confess to you, it's tempting to believe that somehow I deserve that, or it was because I was such a good Christian. Truth is, no, I was really struggling in those days with a lot of things. I was actually rescued from some things by for one thing, that voice. Because mentally, I knew that God loved me, but I don't think I ever felt it or heard it. And that's what I heard. So we could stop the whole thing right here and say, so what you need to do is go to conferences and get prayer. And that's true, actually. It does help. Shortcuts help. But that's not the end of the story. Because what happened was, that propelled me into a new state of Christianity, a new intimacy with God, a feeling, you know, something hard to describe. Very nice, though. But it disappeared. It slowly disappeared. It took about a year. Our whole church was involved in this by then. It became a vineyard. And you know, it slowly, slowly disappeared. So for a year, we had tremendous services, effortless. You could feel God. You always felt Him. I could go for walks with music and be raptured. But it slowly, within a year, it was gone. Okay? Now, I wanted to find it. I wanted more. I wanted to get back. Okay? So I started searching. And I started finding books, mostly ancient books, before the Reformation, about silence and solitude. And they have it's huge literature. It's a huge tradition. And it tells you, it helps you with the problem of getting in your prayer closet. My favorite was a Spanish guy, John of the Cross. He wrote a book, The Ascent of Mount Carmel, Climbing Mount Carmel. The mountain of God. And you start at the bottom and you climb. It's a long journey. It's very difficult. And the truth is, I had been on the top of the mountain, and it was kind of kicked off. And I feel like I kind of rolled down or bounced down and ended up at the bottom with a sign and a pathway how to get back. So I started back, okay? And that's what I'm talking about today, that journey. So it's not quiet. Here's the main outline. God lives in us. We can hear him within us. It's difficult to hear him within us. We must search and wait for him in order to hear him. We must hear the painful as well as the pleasant. Hearing is not mental, but experiential. Just like with me, I knew God loved me, but I didn't. When I heard it, it made a difference. God will help us hear him. Thank God for that one, huh? Okay, so God lives in us. Now, this is not an obscure doctrine in the New Testament. Okay, here's just one verse. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus talking. He that loves me will be loved by my Father, and we will manifest ourselves to him. If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode in him, our home. He lives in us. Okay, this is New Testament, main plane. We can hear him within us, okay? He's not just there, which is good. That'd be nice, peace. But he talks, okay? And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him, and it doesn't know him. But you know him. For he dwells with you, and he will be in you. And he will remind you of all the things I've said. So the Holy Spirit is the teacher and the comforter. He lives within us. He's talking. Now we access him. We hear him all the time through the Word, through fellowship. And it turns out that you can hear him inwardly, and many of you have probably experienced this, but you can make a discipline of it and have a kind of intimate relationship with this Holy Spirit. It is difficult to hear him within us. This is very important. You know, most people don't do this because they've tried. It's hard. And why is that? Well, first, he's invisible. I mean, really. When God talks, you know, it's not like talking to a human. Okay? But he's talking. You can't see him, and you can't hear him in the normal sense. So you have to learn how to access and talk to and see an invisible God. We live in a world of distractions and noise. That's a fact, isn't it? I mean, especially nowadays. I think rural, ancient life was a little easier to do this. But for us, it's hard. It does take a prayer closet and a locked door. We are inwardly scattered. You know, they talk about centering prayer. Because when you get alone with yourself, everything's moving around and scattered. It's not centered into one nice, peaceful self. I knew a guy, a pastor, who went to India. And he told me that he found a Buddhist temple out in the rural parts of India. It was very pretty. It was set beautifully. And there were monkeys all over, on the trees, on the roof, you know, running around. He said that was a visual symbol to him. Here's this temple in our heart, and here's these monkeys, okay? And we have to deal with the monkeys. And the more you try this, the more the monkeys come out. We love our own minds and our own plans, don't we? I do. You know, I think I like to think. I like to plan and talk and solve problems. And I don't want to hear of God. You know, it's like, see what I'm saying? It's like it's easier to just be a human. And lastly, and very importantly, we avoid pain. And one thing we'll see here is this is painful. This can be painful. And you know, we don't like it. So I'm out of here. So what's the answer? Well, we must search for Him and wait for Him in order to hear Him. Seek and find. Okay? Here's Jesus. We heard about this last week. And when Jesus had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. Now, this was a busy guy, right? If anybody could have had an excuse for checking out, it would have been him. But this verse actually embedded in that story where he's doing all this work and there's huge crowds, and then everybody else goes home and he goes to a mountain and prays. And the next day he comes back to mourn. So he sought God. He went and put himself in a position to hear God. Did I do that? Here's another one. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you shut the door, pray to the Father which sees in secret, which is in secret. That's important. It is in secret. He's invisible. And your Father, which sees in secret, will reward you openly. And, I mean, I've had a lot of fruit from doing this. Now, we must hear the painful as well as the pleasant. Okay? A lot of people just want to hear the pleasant. You know, you want to hear God, you expect it to be pleasant, right? You're comforting. It should be nice. And if it isn't nice, it's like, well, then I must be doing something wrong, right? No, sorry, you have to hear the painful as well as the pleasant. Now, the pleasant, we'll start there, can be very pleasant. I mean, not usually, but let's say occasionally, especially with time. Pleasant is really pleasant. I mean, the most pleasant thing you've ever felt, that I've ever felt, is God's presence, okay? And it's hard to describe. I mean, how do you describe an invisible God that you feel? Not easily, right? In fact, here's my description. You know, it's like, this is God. Okay, and that's actually a creation. That's not even it. But luckily, no, the Bible has some help for us here. This is from Proverbs 8. This is wisdom talking. And I'll tell you what I find interesting. If you look at the history of the church, the first few centuries, the church fathers, they had a lot of fighting about this verse, this passage from Proverbs, because it's framed as a woman talking. And it's framed in some verses, some sections, as a creature, a creation. But most of the Orthodox church fathers said, no, this is Jesus. This is the incarnate, the pre-incarnate Logos, the Word of God. And listen to what it says. He's saying, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before He created anything else. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, before the earth was created. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him. I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him in the earth, and my delights were in the sons of men. Do I not cry? Does not understanding put forth her voice? She stands on the high places and on all the paths. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, and at everyone's door. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Receive my instruction, not silver, knowledge rather than gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and nothing you desire can be compared to me. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now that's someone you want to meet. Okay? You want this person in your closet. But there's a painful side to this. And I'll use Paul. The trouble is not with God's law. The trouble is with me. I am carnal, a slave to sin. I really don't understand myself. I want to do right, but I don't do it. What I hate, I end up doing. Now, if I do the things that I don't want to do, it shows that I agree with God, but don't have the power to obey Him. So it is really sin within me that is controlling me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. You ever felt that? That is not pleasant. Right? For the good that I would do, I don't do, and the evil which I would not do, that I do. So I end up doing that which I wish I never did. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? This is one of the main benefits of silence and solitude and prayer closet ministry. Seeing yourself, especially in comparison to this perfect, holy, transcendent God. I mean, the contrast is rather painful. But we have to. We have to see this. This is part of hearing. It's part of knowing. And part of this pathway, the secret of this system, is to admit these things and get help. But see, if you don't see them and fully admit them and let Him talk to you, it's hard to get rid of them. You're back with Paul. Luckily, Paul also saw his higher nature. That was his lower nature. Thank God there's a higher nature. In Christ, Paul was a different person. He now had a higher nature. The new man wants to obey God and also has the power to obey Him. So what happens when you combine the old man with the new man? Well, David told me, it's not the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's the good, the bad, and the beautiful. Since I'm in Christ, I'm a new person, although my flesh still fights against the Spirit. However, the Spirit also fights against my flesh. I put off the old man and put on the new man, and therefore I live, yet not I. But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, what I'm saying, what I'm contending here, is that Paul experienced his lower man. He experienced his higher man. And he saw that he had the power in this system to choose, or to follow, or to get help, and defeat the lower man, which is another great benefit of this process. Now, this hearing is experiential. In other words, it has to be, it's not head, it's heart, and it has to be experienced. And it's not only in your prayer closet where we experience this. I mean, after all, you don't have to do this to be a Christian and to expand and grow. It just helps. Okay? Now, I just gave you this verse from another one of Paul's. But when it pleased God to reveal His Son to me that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't even go up to Jerusalem to meet the other apostles for 3 years. All right. Well, who did he confer with? He was with God. Some people claim these 3 years in the Arabian desert. I don't know. But he experiences directly. And so when he says, I know that in me dwells no good thing, that is in my flesh, he knew it. He really knew it. Now, thank God, God will help us hear Him. Otherwise, forget it. You know, it's just, well, whatever. this is key, right? Here's three verses for you. Wisdom says, this is from Proverbs again, remember, that those that seek me early shall find me. Well, these are conditional verses, okay? These are not applying to our salvation. This is not getting saved, okay? That comes first. This is what you do. This is what we do. But after we're saved, we seek Him early, okay? Now, what does that mean? That means priorities. It means the morning. It means something. It means we have to do something. John 14 again, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me will be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He that has my commandments. I mean, part of this process is that God deals with, shows us things that are wrong. And he shows us things that we're not doing, omitting. Sins of commission, sins of omission. This entire battle between spirit and flesh gets cleared up in the closet as we confess to God, make up our mind to change, ask Him for help. Okay? This is what allows Him to manifest Himself. The Father says, Jeremiah, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That kind of sums it up. Okay? That's a little bit of a condition. Right? Here's the summary. We must hear God. When we hear Him personally in our spirit, we are transformed. This is difficult and requires time with Him. We must listen in silence, learning to hear. We must be willing to hear the painful as well as the pleasant. And God will help us hear Him. Okay, that's it in a nutshell. Now, let me give you three practical steps, okay? First practical step is start doing it, or start again. And David's right, it can be a closet or if you walk in the woods. It's just a matter of your heart seeking God and God only. You can't do it while you're doing occupied. Okay? There's a book, The Long Wandering Prayer. The person learned to pray by wandering around. He'd look at flowers. You know, he wasn't just talking. He wasn't even just listening. He was walking in the woods and eventually started to hear God. I think it's so different that you could just say that every person finds this differently. Second practical step, find some other people doing this and join up. Even though it's silence and solitude, you're all alone, it's really best to have some help, company, direction, okay? Third practical step is prayer. I want to just mention a few words about this space here. I was really thinking about this. Between the stage and the first row is the altar. Now, that's an odd concept, isn't it, for New Testament people? Because that's a throwback to the temple, the altar. You might think, that, well, we're the body of Christ, we're the church, and our heart is the altar. But guess what? It's not true. Paul actually said, when you're assembled and the spirit of power is present, yeah. Paul said, when you're present and assembled together and the spirit of God is present in power, then he goes on. I don't know how long altars have been a New Testament concept, but a long time. And I'm going to tell you, because I have a little bit of experience in Pentecostalism, this space, this altar here, thanks to Wimber and Mark and David and everyone else who's done this, it really is a sanctified space. In other words, if I come up here, I can hear God better than in my chair. Go figure. And so I recommend prayer, of course, and ask you for prayer, but I also recommend the altar. Now, along those lines, if you would stand up and if the worship team would come back.